Breeda brought me some hard bread and cheese. I ate, thinking. What does he want to talk to me about? I asked Willibald. God? The priest sighed. Alfred has been king for 2 years, Uhtred, and in those years he has had only two things on his mind, God and the Danes. But I think he knows you cannot help him with the first. I smiled. Ethelred's hounds had woken as Tatwine and his men settled on the high platforms where they would sleep. One of the hounds came to me, hoping for food, and I stroked his rough fur, and I thought how Ragnar had loved his hounds. Ragnar was in Valhalla now, feasting and roaring and fighting and whoring and drinking, and I hoped there were hounds in the Northmen's heaven, and boars the size of oxen, and spears sharp as razors. There is only one condition attached to your journey, Willibald went on, and that is that Breeder is not to come. Breeder's not to come, eh? I repeated. The Lady Elswith insists on it, Willibald said. Insists? She has a son now, Willibald said. God be praised, a fine boy called Edward. If I was Alfred, I said, I'd keep her busy too. Willibald smiled. So, will you come? I touched Breeda, who had settled beside me. We'll come, I promised him. And Willibald shook his head at my obstinacy, but did not try to persuade me to leave Breeda behind. Why did I go? Because I was bored. Because my cousin Ethelred disliked me. Because Willibald's words had suggested that Alfred did not want me to become a scholar, but a warrior. I went because fate determines our lives. We left in the morning. It was a late summer's day, a soft rain falling on trees heavy with leaf. At first we rode through Ethelred's fields, thick with rye and barley, and loud with the rattling noise of corn crakes. But after a few miles we were in the wasteland that was the frontier region between Wessex and Mercia. There had been a time when these fields were fertile, when the villages were full and sheep roamed the higher hills, but the Danes had ravaged the area in the summer after their defeat at Erske's Hill, and few men had come back to settle the land. Alfred, I knew, wanted folk to come here to plant crops and rear cattle, but the Danes had threatened to kill any man who used the land, for they knew as well as Alfred that such men would look to Wessex for protection, that they would become West Saxons and increase the strength of Wessex, and Wessex, as far as the Danes were concerned, existed only because they had yet to take it. Yet that land was not entirely deserted. A few folk still lived in the villages, and the woods were full of outlaws. We saw none, and that was good, for we still had a fair amount of Ragnar's hoard that Breeda carried. Each coin was now wrapped in a scrap of rag, so that the frayed leather bag did not clink as she moved. By day's end we were well south of that region, and into Wessex, and the fields were lush again and the villages full. No wonder the Danes yearned for this land. Alfred was at Wintonchester, which was the West Saxon capital, and a fine town in a rich countryside. The Romans had made Wintonchester, of course, and Alfred's palace was mostly Roman, though his father had added a great hall with beautifully carved beams, and Alfred was building a church that was even bigger than the hall, making its walls from stone that were covered with a spiderweb of timber scaffolding when I arrived. There was a market beside the new building, and I remember thinking how odd it was to see so many folk without a single Dane among them. The Danes looked like us, but when Danes walked through a market in northern England, the crowds parted, men bowed, and there was a hint of fear. None here. Women haggled over apples and bread and cheese and fish, and the only language I heard was the raw accents of Wessex.